my advice would be to kind of explore what movement you actually enjoy, and that might take a while. You might have to try a few things.
Hello and welcome back to Pear Shaped, a podcast aimed to encourage and inspire millennial women to be their most authentic self and discover what's possible when you embrace when things go pear-shaped. Sarah Louise, also known as Skipping with Sarah, is a content creator and jump rope enthusiast. She teaches her followers tips, tricks, and challenges while creating engaging, funny, and uplifting content, which encourages joyful movement. And I am thrilled to have her here today. Welcome, Sarah.
Oh, thank you so much. Did you know that this is my first podcast?
I mean, amazing. I mean, I'm so pleased to be taking your podcast virginity. Here we are.
Yeah, no. What a podcast to kick it off on. Yeah, no, I'm so excited.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. So you may know already that the first question I ask everyone that comes onto this podcast is, what was your pear-shaped moment and how has it got you to where you are now?
Yeah, okay, so good one. I would, because when you asked me that, I was thinking, I'm a pretty positive person, so I don't really look at most moments in my life as pear-shaped, because I do think, well, this is how I'm here. But when I really dig down and think about it, talking about kind of how do I get to intuitive movement and how do I approach exercise in the way I do, what happened before that? I guess when I was younger, I did a lot of dancing. So I danced 4 times a week since I was about 4 or 5 years old, did that till I was 19. Pretty good at it, like I really enjoyed it. That's where my whole social life was. But there are definitely things that happened while I was doing that that I think have informed the way that I view exercise now. So it was always like, you know, you'll never be a ballerina because you're too fat. You won't see a fat ballerina ever. And it's like, oh, okay, so fat people can't be ballerinas. Right, okay, logged. And then when I was at school, you know, doing sports days and stuff, I just wasn't very good at sports. I hated it. And none of my PE teachers ever really helped me kind of find a love for it. So I would always forget my PE kit and I just kind of really pushed any kind of exercise or sport away because I was like, I'm not very good at it. So I don't like it. So I don't want to do it. So I'm not going to try and get good at it. So obviously that all happened. And then throughout my kind of 20s, exercise was literally used as a tool to burn off weight, because I finished dancing when I was 19. I started drinking, you know, I wasn't exercising anymore. I was drinking, I was eating, I was going out with friends, gained weight. And just every time I got to a point where I was like, okay, I'm going to lose weight now, I'd go on a diet and I'd use exercise to do that. I would then fail because it was so unsustainable. I'm laughing because it's like, I would use exercise in that way. It would be unsustainable and then I would fail and then I would lose weight, but then I'd gain it all back. And it was just like that kind of back and forth. So the pear-shaped moments really are that there are a few of them that led to me having a very unhealthy relationship with exercise.
I relate to a lot of what you've just said. Well, I relate to everything that you've just said because I danced. That was my form of fitness growing up. Again, very unhealthy patterns and behavior and, you know, very toxic words were used. Very similar, you know, never going to be a ballerina. Here you are prancing around like, and I had an eating disorder in my teens. So like I wasn't big, but I was convinced that I was big. But dancing made me feel like that. And you're surrounded by these beautiful girls that are like in these skimpy outfits and every lump and bump is on show. And particularly if you're doing performances and stuff like that, like the costumes that they put you in is just like crazy. But particularly when you are a teen, like it's very exposing.
Yeah, and it definitely breeds this kind of, I feel like the dancing culture, depending on what dance school you're with, I guess, but it definitely breeds like body dysmorphia because you don't really think about the way that you look until someone points it out. So, or, you know, what size costume do you need? Oh, that's a bit tight for you there. Maybe you should lose some weight before the show. And like, so young and impressionable and taking all these things on, like, okay, that's an adult telling me to do that, so that's what I'm supposed to do. But yeah, and then because it's like when I was dancing, it wasn't I'm doing this to lose weight. I was dancing because I actually loved dancing and I enjoyed it and I was good at it. But then it kind of turned into it like fed into everything else. It was always so separate in the sense that it definitely was a like, joyful movement, but it fed into all of these other thoughts about body image and body dysmorphia. It's really weird how it's all like connected.
I agree because, yeah, again, very similar situation. And then it's kind of when that all stops, you're kind of like left with this mentality of like, I need to be slim and I need to stay that size. And then it's like, but you're in the adult world where, you know, unless you go to dance school and you pursue that as a career, there aren't really dance lessons for adults. Like, okay, there are, but finding like the right one and stuff like that doesn't really happen. And you know, you could join stuff when you went to uni and, you know, the like clubs and stuff, but it might not feel the same. And yeah, kind of going into adulthood, I relate to the viewing it really unhealthily. And like, I had a really warped view on exercise and my relationship with it was really bad because, again, I saw it as a punishment rather than a privilege, really. So I want to talk to you about kind of how you've got onto the path that you're on now, because your account has blown up in the last year. It's crazy. What made you even start it in the first place?
So COVID. I bet everyone starts that nowadays. Well, yeah, there was this thing called COVID, and we were my partner had a dry persistent cough, and back in those days we didn't know, we, you know, you can get a test, so we had to self-isolate for 2 weeks, and I was like buzzing because I'm secretly a hermit. I, you know, the thought of having to stay in and sit on the sofa and not do anything for 2 weeks, I was like, this is just wonderful. About a week into it, I was like, my joints started aching, like I was hunched over on the kitchen table doing my work, and I was just like, I actually need to move my body. Like, I've never felt this kind of desire or need to do that. And I was like, so I kind of cleared the living room out of the way. I put this yoga thing on and I just did that for 10 minutes. And I was like, I just feel so much better just for stretching and actually doing something. At the same time as that, my partner was furloughed. So he was, and he's really into his fitness, like really good at sport, you know, just typically a jock, as they would say in America. And he was trying to find different ways of incorporating exercise when he couldn't go to the gym or play football. And he used to do some skipping when he was younger because he did a lot of boxing as well, of course, because he did everything. And so he really got into like wanting to buy some skipping rope. So he was doing all his research and I was taking the piss out of him, like, oh, I'm gonna do some skipping, are you? And then he did it, and I tried a rope and I was like, this is so fun, just like jumping over a rope. So I started going off and researching ropes and got my own rope and went outside, got all prepared. I'd watched all the tutorials online and I did it, and I wasn't very good. I was really out of breath, of course, because I haven't done any exercise for so long, but I just felt this like pull towards it, and I only did a few minutes and then I walked home and I was like, I can't wait until I do it the next day. Injured myself because I did too much too soon, and then I had to take a bit of a break. In that break, I was scrolling through YouTube, looking at all the tutorials again, like studying, doing my homework, getting ready to, you know, doing the theory so I could go back out and do the practical when I was ready. And came across a channel called Jump Rope Dudes, who are like really, really big in the jump rope community, and they were showcasing a few people on Instagram. So I started following them, and then I was like, ah, there's this whole community on Instagram and they're all really nice to each other and they're all helping each other and they're sharing tips and they're encouraging each other and everyone's just so nice. And so this is weird. Like, Instagram is supposed to be a not a very nice place. So I was like, well, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to kind of, I'll involve myself in the community to a certain extent, or if not, I'll just create my profile to kind of track my own progress. So I created my profile. It's been Skipping with Sarah ever since the very beginning, which is mad to me, actually, because I was like, I never had the foresight that this is what was going to happen, but it's now become my brand almost. So I was tracking my progress, and every time I posted, I had like people egging me on and, you know, like helping me out and encouraging me and motivating me. And yeah, so that's how the kind of the account came about. And then I just carried on from there, and I just started communicating with different people in the community, and yeah, went crazy.
You're right, because having a community that's such a niche, it's kind of like, it shows that people want it. People need to see tutorials. Like, it is, it's hard. Like, skipping is hard. I've tried it. And you know where you're just like, oh my God, I don't know how you do all your tricks. And like you said, you study and you work hard to have got to where you've got to. So, like, I can totally see how your content has got you all the followers that you've got now, because yeah, you use humor and you're really open and you're honest, and you also share the fact that yeah, you have had this relationship with exercise in the past, and you're really on this journey to joyful movement, which I think is why people follow you as well.
Yeah, I think it's really easy for someone to come across my profile and make 100 assumptions about me, that I've always been really good at it, I've always been very fit, and I've always loved my body, and I've never had any issues in the past with eating or with movement. And it's easy for people to think I picked up a rope on day one and was twirling it around and, you know, just styling it out. It's just not the case. And if you scroll down my profile, you'll see ever since day one, the progress that I've made. But it's still a highlight reel. It's still that I was posting the things where I was being successful. So now I try and go back and take all this footage from when I was failing and tripping, and I was out there for hours trying to do various different bits and pieces, but people only see 10 seconds. So I try and make it as relatable as possible and try and encourage people and just be like, you just don't see everything that happens behind the scenes. I still try and share those failures in stories, but that's only 15 seconds of an hour of me failing at something. So I think definitely trying to be relatable being relatable, you're going to grow your account if you're relatable, aren't you? That's kind of how it works. But I'm not doing it to grow the account. I'm growing it to I'm doing it to encourage people and motivate people to be like, if you fail, it's just because you're new at it and you just need to work out what you need to do. You need to put some steps in place in order to progress and get better, because you can't just throw the towel in every time you can't do something, otherwise you're never going to get anywhere.
We've already touched on your relationship with exercise in the past. Before you started skipping, were you doing any type of exercise?
I mentioned I throughout my 20s I used exercise as a punishment, so that would include things like going to the gym and trying to lift weights, because I read somewhere that lifting weights was better than cardio for fat loss and like all these kind of things. And when I did cardio, I'd make sure I was in a particular the heart rate zone, which is like the best for fat burning, and it was always that kind of thing. So I'd go to the gym very unsuccessfully. I did some classes, I think I did some like Zumba classes or something, because that was so similar to dancing. I did spinning because I like riding a bike, so I went spinning. But every time I did those things, they would last 1 or 2 weeks because I was doing too much, or I was using it to lose weight and then I wouldn't lose weight, so I'd be like, well, it's not worth it, like it's just not worth it. So yeah, I would always view it in that way, and I never tried to kind of, I would always compare myself to other people as well. So I went to this spin class, actually the same place that I go now for spinning, but it was a different class, much much different from what I do now. And it was where you can see, I don't know if you've done it before, but where you can see everyone else's stats on the board. I don't believe that anyone enjoys that. I no one can convince me otherwise. And I was of course at the bottom of the leaderboard, because I hadn't, again, at this point I'd gone to go and lose weight, and I tried to do what everyone else was doing, and I was like, looking around me like, oh, they're on that gear, and oh my god, I can't keep up with this song, and I can't get out the seat, and all this kind of stuff. And then I was at the bottom of the leaderboard, and I was like, felt so much shame that I couldn't keep up with everyone else. And now go to the exactly the same studio, probably been on the same bike, and we don't have the screens up. And it's Tally, you know, Tally Rye, who is all about intuitive movement, and it's so different, like the mindset that I have towards it. I'm like, okay, I want to be able to do the full class, so let's pace myself and feel how I'm feeling, tune into how I'm feeling, tune into my breathing, and can I taste blood? If so, I should probably slow it down. and at the end of the class, you know, feel so much pride for showing up and doing it and tune into how I'm feeling. I'm like, I feel so much better. But yeah, definitely in my 20s, like I'm 31 now, in my 20s, it was just toxic relationship with movement. And I would cycle to work as well. I bought myself a bike. And like I said, I just love cycling. I hate running. I love cycling. Although I did try and do running as well, but so just disastrous. Did cycling. And every time I cycled to work, I'd put my Strava on and I'd be wearing my Fitbit. And if I didn't do better than the day before, then I'd failed. And I was like using that commuting time to burn calories.
I used to see exercise the same. And it's only really in the last year and a half, I would say, that I've really been like, look, if you don't feel like exercising today, like you don't have to wait till Monday to start, or you can, you know, if you feel like doing it today, that's fine, just do it. And if you don't feel like doing it tomorrow, that's also fine, you know? And it's like, oh God, this is so easy. Like, why did it take me so long to realise, you know?
Yeah, and I feel like the attitude that some people have, some people that I've come across on the internet, where they feel like they need someone to be shouting at them and breathing down their neck, and if they don't exercise 7 days a week, then they've failed. I feel like some people genuinely feel like they need that as motivation, but how can that be sustainable? I just don't believe, like, I'm all about sustainability, and if I lose weight, then cool, like I probably won't even notice now, but I just want to be able to do this for a really long time. So yeah, it's all about sustainability. And just going back to what you were saying, like, oh, if I want to do it today, fine. If not, if I don't want to do it tomorrow, that's fine. I think some people feel like that's not motivating enough. Do you know what I mean? But it's because it's not toxic.
I think like the fear of failure really creeps in, and you're already kind of setting yourself up for failure because you can't keep getting personal bests like every day. Okay, there probably are some people that can, but, you know, so many other factors come into why you might have been slower that day, or, you know, whatever, even just like down to your hormones and stuff like that. How do you stop the little voices like creeping back in now that you're in a better mindset?
I think the thing with jump rope or skipping, whatever you want to call it, is it's so versatile and it's so broad. So if you, for example, I'm doing this like November challenge where you do a certain amount of, you choose a move, you do a certain amount of them as kind of reps, and you see what the time is. And over the month, you do it like between 4 and 8 times and see how many seconds you've knocked off your personal best. But sometimes I don't want to do that. I want to unlock a new trick, which might involve me not really getting my heart rate up. It might involve me not really sweating. I could probably do it in my kitchen because it doesn't really need that much space, but I'm shifting the focus to doing something else. I am actually still going out there and I'm still moving my body, and then once I've unlocked that skill, I can incorporate that into something else where I maybe do move my body a bit more. So I think with jump rope, just there, I don't really get the voices because there's too much else going on. So I guess if I was running, maybe, I mean, I can't speak from first-hand experience, but I imagine with running it's quite easy to get sucked into like those little voices telling you that you failed, or you know, you didn't hit your heart rate zone, or you didn't hit your PB, or you didn't go far enough, or whatever. I feel like there's so much less kind of to focus on, whereas with jump rope, it's so much fun. And even if I'm not going crazy and burning loads of calories or whatever, I mean, I don't even know how many calories I've burned, I can still come out and be like, oh, amazing, I unlocked that skill today, or I'm on my way to unlocking that skill, I realize where I've gone wrong now. And it's just, as my mind is too full with other things to really worry about what else is going on. And I always say to people, like, would you do the exercise that you're doing if it didn't result in weight loss? And some people say, no, I wouldn't do it. But I would 100% do jump rope if it didn't result. If it never had the opportunity to result in weight loss, I'd still do it.
Yeah, no, I find it fascinating, because it's so nice to see someone find the right thing for them, because it's so easy to not. Like, for me, that's swimming. Like, I absolutely love going swimming. The time goes like that for me. Like, it never feels like, oh God, got to keep going, you know? And if I don't really feel like I want to do more than half an hour, then I get out the pool, you know? It's not kind of stressful. And I think one of the big factors is the fact that I don't have a watch on. Like, I don't have any, I'm not counting anything, and I'm not thinking about exercise as such. So that's like it's really nice to hear that you're in that space. What's your advice to anyone who wants to get fitter and stronger and might still be in that like toxic weight loss mindset?
Yeah, so there's a few things that you can do. I think a lot of intuitive eating dietitians and nutritionists would say, if you have a really toxic relationship with movement, then to take a step away from it. I don't think everyone has to do that, but there are certainly things that you can do to get fitter and stronger. In so many different forms of exercise, not just going to the gym or going for a run or even doing skipping. So my advice would be to kind of explore what movement you actually enjoy, and that might take a while. You might have to try a few things. But I did a post about this a while ago, which was, think about the things that you did when you were a child. So I actually rode my bike everywhere, so it's no surprise that I really enjoy cycling. And obviously dancing, I incorporate a lot of my dancing kind of a lot of dancing elements into my skipping. Like, I really like doing all the footwork and making up routines. So it makes sense that those are the things that I would kind of lean towards. There are other things like roller skating, hula hooping, all of these sorts of things, the things that you don't really think about as exercise, like they are, and they are going to help you get fitter, and they are going to help you feel stronger. I think as well, working with a PT who is in the anti-diet space, which I think is rare, but if you can find a PT who can coach you through how to start and how to get fitter and stronger, then you can learn so much from them as well. But if you don't have, you know, the money to do that, and you don't have the kind of the time to try and find an exercise that works for you, I think just do anything, but do it for 5 minutes. Just do something for 5 minutes. And that's not, so when I talk about, oh, just do 5 minutes of skipping, obviously I don't mean 5 minutes of continuous skipping, because that would be insane. Like, I can't do 5 minutes of continuous skipping. So try and do something and find your baseline with whatever it is that you're doing. If you want to go for a bike ride, just go for a mile, or just, you know, ride to the shop and see how you feel when you get back. Are you really out of breath? Are you sore the next day? If so, then that's probably your baseline, and you can slowly increment and increase how much it is that you do. If you're going to the gym, just lift like the lightest weight that exists. How does it feel? Is it really easy? Okay, go on to the next weight and just slowly increase it. Because one of the things that I did when I had an unhealthy relationship with movement was burn out really quickly and do way more than I could ever achieve. And that was because I wasn't starting as a beginner. Sorry, I wasn't appreciating that I was a beginner, and I was trying to go in at what everyone else was doing. and actually just going, stripping it all back and just doing the bare minimum and going, okay, well, that was easy. Next time I'm just going to do a little bit. I'm going to do more than that and see how I feel. And then once you kind of find that easy, step it up a little bit more, step it up a little bit more, because your body is like learning, and especially with skipping, like muscle memory is really important. So things are going to feel easier the more you do it. And I feel like that's such a basic thing, but I don't think enough people say it. Like, the more you do something, the easier it'll get, obviously. So I think if people want to feel fitter or stronger, you're going to have to accept that there's going to be a bedding in period, and there's going to be a time when you feel like you're rubbish at something. Did you see that Heb on the Web song that was going around a while ago? It's like sucking at something's the first step to being really good at something.
It's true. Yeah. I feel like I need that printed on my wall or something, like a massive poster.
Yeah, it would make a really good print. And I think people go on Instagram. It's going back to the point that I made earlier, going on Instagram and seeing someone and being like, well, I could never do that. It's like, how do you know? Because you've never tried. If you really want to do it, then you're going to have to kind of accept that you're not going to be good at it for a bit, and it shouldn't be painful, it's going to be frustrating, and you're going to feel sore, but you just got to tune into your body and be like, okay, that feels a bit sore, so I'll just take a few days rest, and then next time when I come back, you're inevitably going to feel stronger and you're going to be able to do more of it. But yeah, just really, really tuning into how you feel and stuff like that, rather than going to an aerobics class and being like, well, I can't keep up with the instructor, so therefore I'm just going to not do it. So I'll just do what you can. And at the spin class with Tally, she always says, you know, take a seat if you need to. Don't feel like you have to do this. And it just takes the pressure off completely. And actually, in a like reverse psychology way, it makes you want to do more. Because you're like, no, I can do it.
No, it's really interesting, because I think it has a lot to do with mindset, right? So like you said, if you're kind of in a, oh, well, I could never do that headspace, you're probably never going to do it, because it's like, you've really got to like push through the negative thoughts and the negative process that you're in. And it actually has a lot to do with mental health, doesn't it? Because exercise is so beneficial, but if you're in a bad headspace, it's really difficult to even get to that good headspace through exercise.
Yeah, and I think with skipping as well, there's so many times where I will swear very loudly at my rope, or I'll whip myself and it will hurt a lot.
Yeah.
But deep down I'm like, well, I'm doing something wrong, so let's have a look at it and try and fix it. And then the minute you unlock that trick, you're either going to be like, oh, thank God for that and I've done it, or you're like, I've done it. And it's just that all the hard work, all the effort that you've put in kind of comes out in this like outburst of happiness and like, oh my God, I did it. I can do it, right. I'm going to go on to the next thing now. And it is just being like, rather than looking at what you can't do, look at what you can do. And with the things that you can't do, work out how you can one day do them and think about your progress. Think about where you've come from. Like I do like a 6-week challenge, and on week 3 I'm always like, you couldn't even do a basic bounce when you first started, and now you've done 5 tricks. Like, think about that. Think about how far you've come. And it is about just constant reminders of where you've come from, how you're getting on, what's your progress. And that's why I always tell people to record themselves as well. Like, it might feel weird and you might hate to look at yourself, especially if you're not, you know, used to looking at yourself, even in the mirror, to record yourself jumping up and down, is quite daunting. But it's so important to have that reminder of, you know, it's so cliche, but you only look back to see how far you've come, or whatever the phrase is.
No, it is true. And I think, so I really like, again, swimming is like, I know you've got to like walk out to the pool and stuff like that, but it's quite insular, like you can be very much on your own. And I think a big thing can also be, it can be quite embarrassing to like turn up to an exercise class or whatever. So I really like, there's an app called Fit that I use, and it's at home workouts. And you can just do it yourself. And okay, that does require some motivation, but no one needs to see you know, the fact that your leggings have fallen down or that your bobbly bits that you don't want people to see or whatever. And I think skipping's quite like that too, because you're on your own. Like, nobody necessarily needs to see you. If you've got a garden, then you can do that in your garden and no one needs to know that you've messed up 10 times or whatever.
Totally. And people are always like, how do you build up the kind of confidence to go and skip outside? And I'm like, you just kind of do it. Like, it's really awkward. But and I always say, take a friend, take your partner, take a friend, take your mum, dad, whoever, to just kind of stand with you for the first couple of times. And then you'll realise that no one's looking. If they do look, they're like, oh, God, that's impressive. And the thing is, like, what's your alternative? The alternative is you can't do it. So you're going to have to do it. And I meet a lot of people when I'm skipping outside and they'll come up to me and be like, oh, what's this? And not all the time, because I've got like hat on like this, so no one can see me. But yeah, you've just got to do it. And like you say, if you can do it in your garden or in your house, or, and that's the great thing about skipping as well, it's so portable. You can literally, you just need your rope and you're off.
Because you've done it on holiday as well, haven't you? You've taken your ropes on holiday and stuff like that.
It's a whole thing in the community as well, like who can get the best backdrop and like what's the craziest place that you've done some skipping. And but it just, yeah, it goes back to that point, you can literally do it anywhere. And it's so it's like an international language. You don't have to speak the same language to be able to appreciate what someone else is doing with the rope. But yeah, so it's just like a global thing as well. I speak to people all over the world about it.
Do you think the community has helped you fall in love with it even more? Like, do you think if that community wasn't there, do you think you'd be as into it?
I don't think I'd still be doing it if I didn't, you know, come across them, because I'm quite good at motivating myself. But when I see someone doing something that I've never seen before and I'm like, oh, I need to go out and try that, it's like, that's the motivation. And I've spoken about this previously, but if you feel like you're plateauing or you're not doing very well or you're failing all the time, or you kind of like can't think of anything new to do and you feel like you're doing the same thing all the time, there are literally hundreds of thousands of people in this community that you can take inspiration from, and you can like draw kind of motivation from what they're doing. So, you know, like a lot of times I've said I wasn't going to go out today, but then I saw Kathy doing this really cool thing and I went outside and then I stayed out for an hour and I wasn't going to do anything that day. And 100% I wouldn't even know that half of these, I wouldn't know that 99% of these tricks exist. I'd just be out there still doing a basic bounce probably.
I find like finding the right clothes to wear for working out quite hard. And I'm sure people listening to this will also feel the same. What are your like go-to leggings or shorts or, yeah, your hero products basically?
Yeah, it's taken me a while. I'm on this like mad quest to find the world's best leggings for jump rope. I think I'm getting there, but they're very expensive. So I'm sorry to say Lululemon are the best. They're the most expensive, but they have like an internal drawstring, which is amazing for skipping because it's nice and stretchy material, but you can pull it up and then you can tie it on the inside and they won't budge an inch. And they're not uncomfortable, because I have tried some leggings. You know the ones that are like, I'm trying to think, Gymshark do them and they're like really tight material. They're like seamless, but they're so uncomfortable and they roll down, which is obviously irritating because you need both your hands for your skipping rope. You don't want to be hoiking your leggings up all the time. So yeah, definitely Lululemon. I think they're called Wonder or Wonder Under or something. Sweaty Betty have got some really good ones. Anything with an internal drawstring is amazing. Bra, again, quite expensive when you look at the kind of scale of how expensive sports bras are. But I've got one from Mary, MAARREE. And she's amazing. She's like this one woman business. And it's got this technology in it, which is, you know, when you wear a sports bra, it protects your boobs from going down too much, yeah, bouncing downwards. But she's got this technology in it, which is called overband technology. And it's this strip that goes across the top of your chest, and it's got like adjustable kind of straps here, and it stops your boobs from going up as well. So they're just like rock hard. And it's really comfortable as well.
Yeah, yeah, that's what we need.
Yeah, exactly. But she, Mary, was a sports bra tester for many years. So she kind of discovered all of the pros and cons of different bra designs and made her own, which is amazing. What else?
Trainers.
I think that's it. Trainers. I use a Nike or Nike. There's a big debate about that. they're called React Milers or Miler Reacts. But the thing about trainers and jump rope is you really have to find the ones that work for you. So I think running trainers are generally quite good. But some people like jumping barefoot. Some people like just doing it in their socks. Converse, Vans. I really wouldn't recommend Converse and Vans because they don't give very much. There's not much give. Whereas with my trainers, like, if you think about it, you're always on your toes. You never put your heels down when you're jumping, really. So you need something that's going to allow you to stay up on your feet and give you good arch support and stuff like that. I think it's quite similar to running in that you can get your gait analysis and find out which trainer's best for you. But yeah, I use my Mila Reacts.
For, yeah, a newbie, you have your like ropes that you recommend. What would be the best rope for a beginner?
So it totally depends on your ultimate goal. But and how much money you have as well, because you can get these weighted ropes from Crossrope, but they're quite expensive. They're the ones that I started out with, and they're the ones that I kind of learned all the basics on, because they're quite heavy, but not too heavy. It's good because when you're skipping, you need to know when the rope's coming around you to be able to jump over it at the right time so that you're not jumping too high. So with like a wired or a speed rope, it's so light that you can't feel it and you're going to end up tripping all the time. So that's why the cross rope's really good, because it's weighted, it's thick, and it's like you can literally feel it in your arms when you're rotating it around you. But if you don't have that kind of money and you want to do lots of tricks or just learn all the foundational skills, then a beaded rope is the best. But don't go on Amazon, because they're rubbish on there.
And also there's so many options, isn't there? So you're just, it's quite overwhelming. So yeah, that's great advice.
The one that I use is like, I think when people get it, they're like, oh, it's just a cheap piece of plastic, but it's actually really durable. And the handles, so when I do all my releases, nine times out of 10, I will not catch the rope, which means the rotation of it means that the handle smashes down on the ground. So if you have a rope that is not durable, it will just smash to pieces, whereas these are like shatterproof. So they look cheap and plasticky, but, you know, they'll last you a lifetime. So, yeah, beaded rope's really good as well, because, like I say, with the weighted rope, the beads add a little bit of weight to it so that you can feel it, and it holds its shape in the air so it doesn't get tangled. You can adjust it so it's correct for your height and your, you know, your level. So, yeah. Beaded rope. I can talk about this for hours.
Amazing. Where would you buy them from?
I've got a collaboration rope with a company called Elevate. So it's Elevate with Sarah, and Dope Ropes as well. But on my website, skippingwithsarah.com, you can go onto the shop now, and there's like all the links to the things that I've spoken about today. So the trainers and the bra and everything else. I've also got a rope guide on there as well, so you can see you know, what are the benefits of a beaded rope, a PVC rope, and a weighted rope.
Amazing. Fabulous. Thank you so much for your time. Like, so much information. I feel, yeah, it's been so lovely speaking to you.
Angie, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for listening. Really hope you enjoyed it. You can listen wherever you find your podcasts, and you can also find us on Instagram and TikTok @PearShakePodcast. See you next time.